Our New Testament scripture reading is from the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew 11, verses 27 through 30. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's an interpretation of words that Jesus spoke long ago. Here ends our scripture reading. Speak to us, Spirit of God, through your word this very morning. Brothers, sisters in Christ, a woman and her grandmother, who was a very forgiving and religious soul, were sitting on their porch, and they were actually discussing a real black sheep member of their family. Solomon is just no good, the young woman said. He's completely untrustworthy and he's very, very lazy. Yes, he's bad, the grandmother said as she rocked back and forth in a rocker. But you know what? Jesus loves him. I'm not so sure of that, the younger woman persisted. Oh, yes, assured the elderly woman. Jesus loves him. So she rocked and thought for a few more minutes, and then she added, well, of course, Jesus doesn't know him like we do. A little bit typical. When we think of King David in the Old Testament, we immediately think of him as a model for others. While he still was a sheepherder, he learned the trade, and finally he was able to write that beautiful Psalm 23, telling us that the Lord God is his shepherd. He was boasting, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, it sounds very great, and we've heard it a million times. Sounds so peaceful. And then we seem to think, well, it's different times. And that was actually written by someone who had truly peace with God long ago. Is that true? We know the Bible a bit. Is that true? Of course not. Unfortunately, the Lord is my shepherd is definitely not his entire life story. I have to remind you that earlier in his life, there was a different and a much darker side to his life. The name will bring it all back to you. His relationship with Bathsheba turned out to be one of sexual abuse and harassment. Read the Bible. And it tells us how David, King David, actually fell into sin and completely turned his back on God. There's two sides to David's story. But well, the positive and the good news is that there finally came a day when his sin of the past caught up with him and he simply could no longer live a lie. And then the Bible tells us how David returned to God in sack and ash, how he confessed and how he sought forgiveness at the rest of mind. He simply could no longer bear living a lie. Living with a lie in his heart and his life. No longer. He realized that he had built his life on sand and now the foundations were shaking and crumbling under him. So there came a day when he woke up and he sincerely sought to clear his mind and to entrust his inner pain that he always carried with him, his loneliness, to his God. And that's exactly what the Bible says, what King David did. And we who know the Psalms, it's clear that from his writings in Scripture, that he finally received complete forgiveness and found peace, the peace that he had sought so long. There came a day that David let go of the facade that was built around him. There came a day when David changed from the inside out, and he was never, ever the same again. His divided loyalty was now a thing of the past, and he was able to write psalms of praise and gratitude from that day on. Just listen, one can hear his own words, the joy and the renewal that King David finally experienced. Hear what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within me, his holy name. You know, coming to our times, you and I really have no license or reason strong enough to continue judging one another. Not today. Not ever. We need as Christians to be quiet and delve deep into ourselves instead. Here is what the Bible says. The Jews brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. And they began pressing him to uphold their law of stoning such a person to death. That's a worst case scenario. There isn't one more dangerous and worse in the Bible. And then, how did Jesus respond to the cruelty, the wickedness even, of those days? Jesus responded by declaring, said, look, okay, this stoning is okay. Well, that's our tradition. We better get on to stoning. But I just have one small little request. Will anyone now who is without sin should be the one to cast the first stone? Got them. If you are ready to cast the first stone, this is your moment. Throw it. Kill that whore. That's a straight language of the Bible. Bible says, and then he stooped down to write in the sand. I'm so curious. We don't know what he wrote. It's never recorded. But we do know one thing. Bible says his accusers, already with the bricks and stones in their hands, paused to think. Okay, somebody must start the stoning now. Will I do it? Not me. Not me. I'm not without guilt. Sorry. Drop the stone. You know, it's a reminder that some of us still would not rather touch the subject at all. Said it before. Cannot point any finger to anybody unless this happens. Three of the fingers point straight back to you and to me. Well, it's also true that many of us are willing, even this morning, to ask for and to accept God's forgiveness. And I think we all realize that with gratitude, even here this morning, this church, the silence of the morning, I can be touched and changed by the experience of the presence of God. So, okay, I guess we're all ready. Let's go. Let's get that forgiveness. Don't be in such a hurry. The Lord's Prayer that we heard and so often pray together, actually ties a precondition to this favor that we're asking from God. It actually sets a standard to all our pleas for forgiveness. It says, forgive us our trespasses. How should you forgive us our trespasses? Well, only as we forgive those who trespass against us. This goes deep. I must be honest with you, I shed tears before God and is working on this. Jesus taught that you can only receive forgiveness if you can first forgive those who sinned against you. Only then you can turn to God and rest assured that you have indeed received mercy and forgiveness. It's that part of our prayers dictated in the Bible that we seem to forget. Before being forgiven, says God, you need to do some homework. You need to do some forgiveness. And you, who still holds a grudge deep inside yourself, because someone who wronged you maybe long, long ago, you who do not even want to go to the same church as that person does. You have some homework in church this morning. You have to say not to me. It's none of my business. But you need to say this morning, God, I forgive. No matter what. No matter what pain was done to me. I forgive. I do. And now I need and I can accept your forgiveness. Biblical prophet Isaiah gave voice to God's invitation to all of us. Come now. Let's argue this one out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. You know, the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, he put it this way, when Jesus calls us, he entreats us to come and die. Through Christ, we gain strength and die to the fears that still keep us from loving. We gain courage to die to the selfishness that keeps us from sharing our gifts. We learn to die to seeking our own success and salvation in disregard for the good of all God's children. If we die with Christ, we also rise with Christ as new creations to be God's children, living, loving, and worshipping together, caring about one another, and discovering anew what it means to be fully human. Am I only human? Oh, yes, I am. But thank God, somehow, He touched me and you and us and renewed us and give us new direction in our lives. I have my story. But the question is, what's your story? I have my song. But the question is, what's your song? How and when did you first become aware of God's presence in your life? Oh, folks, we need to talk more about God. We really do. We need to talk more and more about God. We need to listen more intensely for the call, so well articulated in Scripture. And that same invitation still stands. We have our stories. It's very long ago that I first heard and understood the invitation and responded to the call. Many times I again heard in one or other way the same timeless, loving invitation from my Savior. Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. From time to time, when life's burdens get overwhelming and so heavy to bear, I still return quietly and seek the wholeness and acceptance that only our deepest, sincerest return to God can possibly provide. No, it's never too late. We love to sing softly and tenderly. Jesus is still calling. even this very day. And I think that all that we said this morning are tied together in the words of our scripture. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And then that wonderful ending of that text in the Bible. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I think it took me about 2 hours of silence just thinking about that one sentence. Unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't God wonderful? What a privilege. What a privilege. To be quiet sometimes. And to say deep inside, thank you, God. I can hear my Savior calling.